Well, thank you, Harvey. And he didn't say, but there's a, you know, we have a, I don't know what they're calling it, the building committee or whatever. There's a group of men. There's about six of them or five of them or something. And they meet every so often to discuss all the things that need to be done or whatever. And so anyway, be in prayer. Okay? I mean, we can do our part, but, you know, God can do some crazy stuff, okay? And so, you know, that's my ridiculous prayer. And I know, that we are able to turnkey this thing without a loan. And I know Jim Clark there, he leads our adult Sunday school. And his class, they've all adopted that challenge, and they're praying a ridiculous prayer for us to raise that money. You know, and he shared that with me a couple weeks ago. And so be in prayer, you know, God can do a miracle. And I'm just kind of gathering my thoughts how I want to go with this thing.
We can show them what it won't be.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I'm going. I have a video that I came across, and I had Dave get it for me. And, you know, we're here to, why are we building? I mean, you know, that's a question. You know, we don't just do things for the sake of doing them. Okay? And so that's really what I'm talking about today. And the name of the message today, as you got your little outline there, which I'm doing it a little different today than I usually do. I'm not having you fill in any blanks or anything. And I don't have a PowerPoint or anything like I normally do. But why are we building? And that's why the title of the message is Proclaim the Message. We need to proclaim the message. And so in order to do that, we need to have facilities, and we're growing, and we need more education room and things like that. And so as the ministry grows, we need to grow with it. But it's always for the same reason. That's to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. But a lot of people have a different idea of what church is all about. And so I've got it's a minute and a half or so video. I think you'll find it interesting.
Tired of having to wake up, get dressed, and drive across town just to attend your favorite service? Introducing Virtual Reality Church. Start by choosing a church building that meets your needs. Tired of the stress of having to choose a Sunday morning outfit? Never make a fashion mistake again, because Virtual Reality Church will style you based on your denomination. Not a people person? Select the introvert experience to completely eliminate the welcome team, meet and greet time, connect cards, and that awkward hold hands with the person next to you thing we still do. Next, personalize your morning by choosing the worship experience that you want. Feeling a touch of white guilt? Add a minority worship leader. Custom options even let you tailor the skinniness of your worship leader's jeans. Finally, no more having to endure songs that you don't like. With Virtual Reality Church, you're in charge. For the sermon, choose the amount of conviction you'd like and we'll select a pastor for you. We'll even let you tailor your sermon topics so you'll never have to attend a Vision Sunday or a sermon series on giving. And never worry again about dozing off during the sermon. With Virtual Reality Church, you can sleep as long as you want. Kids being bad in nursery? Who cares? Worried about missing a football game? Enter your favorite team and we'll provide notifications when the game is starting. Never miss a kickoff again. Want to go forward for prayer? Well, if you selected a Pentecostal service, always stand in front of a mattress. Even connect your social media accounts and we'll post for you. Get credit for being super spiritual all from the comfort of your couch. Finally, an option for people asking the question, how can I make Sunday morning even more about me? Virtual Reality Church, the future of church attendance.
All right. I saw that. I said, you know. And the thing is, I'll get to that. Just kind of hold that in the back of your mind there. And I'll get to where that fits in with this message. But why are we building? Why are we building? I selected 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, because of his appearing and his kingdom, proclaim the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not, rebuke, correct, encourage with great patience and teaching. first two verses there. You know, the first verse, it's a solemn reminder. A solemn reminder. Paul's writing and he says, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus. And why is it solemn? Because he's going to judge. He's going to judge the living and the dead. And the living and the dead, it's not that there's going to be dead people and living people before him. Okay? There's people that are alive in Christ and there's people that are dead in Christ. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're already dead. You don't even know it. You have a dead spirit within you. You're alive physically, and yes, you have a soul, but your spirit is not alive. And that's why the Bible says you must be born again. You must be born again. Because when sin came into the world, Adam and Eve, they had a spirit. They were spirit, soul, and body. And they had relationship with the living God. And that's the only way we can have relationship with God is through our spirit. And if your spirit is dead, you have no relationship. And remember, in the Bible, Adam and Eve, they sin, and God had told them, on the day that you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. But yet, we know what? They sinned, and they lived for 900 years, and they had children and all that, and say, well, wait a minute, they didn't die. Yes, they did. They died spiritually, and because they had a dead spirit, when they had children, those children were born with dead spirits. And those children had children, and they were born all the way down to you and me and these kids that are here and the kids that are in the nursery and all that. They are all born, we are all born with a dead spirit. And when you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes within us. And I like the way the King James puts it, it quickens us. It quickens us. And when you understand what that means, it means to make alive. Regeneration. And that's why when Jesus was talking with Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is like, what are you talking about? I can't go back into my mother. And Jesus is like, are you real? You call yourself a teacher and you don't know these things? You must be born again. Your spirit must come alive or you can never enter the kingdom of God, because you can only enter the kingdom of God through the Spirit. And so there's going to be people standing before God in the end time, the final judgment, and there's going to be the living and the dead, those that are alive in Christ and those that have the dead spirit. And they're going to be judged according to their works. And they will be found wanting. They will be found fallen short of the glory of God. And they will have to pay the price for their sin. But those that have the Holy Spirit, those that are alive in Jesus Christ, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be judged according to our works. Not for salvation, not for heaven, but just for obedience. What did He call us to do? What is it that God moved on you and said, you need to do this, and you didn't do it? You're going to be judged on that. The good news is, when He said, move and do this, and you did it, you're going to be rewarded for that. Praise God. But this is a solemn reminder, because everyone is going to appear. Everyone. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you have an alive spirit or a dead one, every knee will bow. So it's solemn. And He says, because it is solemn, because it is serious, because it's important, proclaim the message. Proclaim the message. And He says, persist in it. In other words, proclaim it consistently. He says, whether it's convenient or not. You know, sometimes God has said, you need to talk to that person, and I'm thinking, I got places to go. I got things to do. I mean, I got to be at this meeting. I got to be doing this or that. Or maybe I just don't feel well. I don't feel like it. I've been battling this or that. You know, sometimes it is not convenient. But we are called to proclaim the message. He says, rebuke and correct and encourage. You know, sometimes we're pretty good at rebuking, or we think we have truth. At least we've interpreted the truth a certain way, and someone else is doing something we think really doesn't line up with what we think. And we go, hey, you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. But it says, encourage. You know, you may be right, but if you approach somebody in the wrong way, you're not going to get an audience. It says, rebuke, correct, and encourage with what? Great patience. You know, they may not buy into what you have to say the first time, or the second time, or the 50th time, or the 100th time. But we have to have patience because, listen, you do not save anybody. God does the saving. God is the one that draws people to Himself. We are vessels. We have a message. Hopefully we have a testimony that we can share to help persuade people. But in the end, it's God who draws them. It's God who gives them the faith. It's God who saves them. And it's God who wants to use them. And He may want to teach them something, and He may have chosen to choose you to teach them, but it's God that's doing it. And we need to understand that. And so we need to be patient with what God is doing. Because we can get frustrated. Man, why doesn't she get it? Why doesn't he learn? It's not on you to change his gray cells. You know, especially parents with kids, don't you wish you could reach into their brains and kind of rearrange their cells so that they will do what you ask them to? You know, why, you know, you look at your children and you go, why do you think like that? Well, just think back when you were that age. How were you thinking? Okay, till God worked with you. So we got to understand, we got to be patient. And you got to realize you're not being patient with the person. You're being patient with God's timetable. God is bringing that person along at His pace, not yours. And so we've got to be consistent. Now, we need to be right. You know, we need to speak truth. But it's got to be in God's timing and in His way. And sometimes we just get a little impatient. You know, what I have found with most of us, and I know with me, I love people to be patient with me. Well, I'm growing in that area, but, you know, I'm not a whole lot real patient with people. But, oh, I want people to be patient with me. Well, guess what? We all need to be patient with one another. And especially people that we're sharing truth with, that need the truth. You know, the stuff you're telling them, they may have never heard before. And you got to give them time to absorb it. You got to give them time to think about it. And you got to give God time to do something within them. And I think sometimes we get in the way of what God is doing because we get too pushy or we get too arrogant in a sense. We come on like we almost belittle them. Like, why don't you get that? Well, you know, I remember when I was like 28. I was an idiot. I mean, I believed junk stupid. But man, I was right, and nobody was telling me otherwise till God got a hold of me. Then I was willing to listen. You know, the Bible says, except the Spirit draws them, they're not going to come to God. So I don't care how great you are or how much you know or how well you can tell it. If God's not dealing in their life, it's not going to happen. So you got to be patient. You got to wait on Him. Wait on God to work. And you just be available and you just do your job. You proclaim, you share, you be consistent. And yeah, if you got an opportunity to say, hey, you know what you're saying there, that's interesting, but it's really not right because blah, blah, you know, and you can have your reason. But don't expect them to agree with you. Don't expect them to go, oh my goodness, you have just enlightened me so much. And you know, no, they're going to have to think about it. They've lived their whole life thinking a certain way. You really think it's going to change just because you said something? It's kind of prideful. God's working in their life and He's using you. So we've got to be encouraging and patient. Why? We need to be about this. Why are we building a building? It's so that we can equip people to proclaim the truth. Why am I teaching an evangelism class? I want people to be comfortable with the message so that they're not afraid to share. And listen, there's always fear involved in sharing. Always. Heart rate rises. What are they going to say? How are they going to react? Okay? There's always a little bit of fear involved. But I've found that if you're prepared, it does a lot to kind of push the fear to the side when you're prepared. I mean, it's still there, but you know what? I'm prepared. I can do this. And then once you do it a few times, it's all right. But we have to proclaim it and encourage it. Why? And why do we need to do it now? Verse 3, for the time will come. The time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, they will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and turn aside to myths. The video. That is a perfect picture of somebody with itchy ears. I want the service the way I want it. I want it to last. I like that one. Put in the level of conviction you want to feel. I love that. How about zero? I don't want to be convicted at all. I just want to come here, feel good, and stay the same. But are we not a society that is doing this? You know, music's got... Yeah, I like the one, John. You're going to wear those skinny jeans, man? The music leader, it says, adjust how skinny his jeans are, you know, to your persuasion. You know, but that's what's going on. People just want to hear what they want to hear. Don't tell me, you know, just tell me how good I am. Just tell me that you're just glad I'm here. But don't tell me that I need to change. Oh no. Don't tell me that I believe something that maybe isn't quite lining up with the Bible. Oh, don't tell me that. I just want to come in here, sing a few songs, feel good about myself, and go home and just be me. That's not why we're building a building. We're building a building because we're going to preach truth. And we're going to teach truth. Now we can have a little fun along the way. I don't have a problem with that. Breaks it up a little. Because sometimes the truth, it can weigh on you. But we got to maintain sound doctrine, and we do. That's why, for the most part, I preach verse by verse. Go through, talk about what it says. How does it apply to our lives? Hopefully you get that. You know, get something out of that each week. And then hopefully it translates into your interactions with people. Whether it be at school or on the job or in your neighborhood, friends or family or, you know, whatever it might be. But we need to maintain sound doctrine. We don't adjust it to make people comfortable. Now, look, I don't come here, you know, I don't lay awake at night thinking, okay, how can I make them squirm? You know, that's not on my mind But what is on my mind is whatever passage God has laid on my heart, how can I present it in truth? How can I be encouraging with it? And hopefully, how can you apply it to your life in some way so that God can use you in a greater way in whatever the plan is He has for you, whatever that might be. But we need to have sound doctrine and to teach it. And I strive to do that. It's not always, what's really scary sometimes is you get up and, I trust God a lot for what is said here because, I've talked all this time. This is all that's written on my paper. Okay. And it's just to keep me on task is all this is for. I trust a lot what God is going to have me utter. And it can be a little scary because it's like, God, if you don't come through, I'm going to be done in like 30 seconds here. But I want people, as I prepare and I put these passages into my heart, I want it, it's my desire that when it comes out, it is something that helps you. It is something you can apply to your life. It's something that will give you light in some way. Or encouragement, because there's a lot of different needs. And anytime you have a group of about, there's probably over 80 people here today, all told. I don't know, but when you have a group, that there's a lot of different needs, people in a lot of different places, in their spiritual walk. Some are new Christians. Some may not even be Christians. Some have been Christians a long time. We have some missionaries here today. We have people that have jobs. We have people that are retired. We have, all different kinds of seasons of life and different situations, businessmen and retired people and military people. And, there's all different avenues here. And yet the Bible applies to them all. The Bible applies to us all. And it is my prayer every week that something I say gives you something you can use. Something that if you need encouragement, I hope you are encouraged. If you are in need of maybe a little correction or something, that hopefully, God will lighten your mind. You'll say, wow, okay, I get that. I was kind of thinking wrong about that passage or whatever, and I get it now. And, whatever it might be. It's a little scary. For all the fun that I like to have, I take this seriously because it's people's lives. People are making decisions every day. Church people are making decisions every day that can change their life one way or the other. And I try to bring the Bible to life in such a way that it helps you. And sometimes we are in need of rebuke, Sometimes we're in need of encouragement. Sometimes we're in need of a laugh. Some people may have laughed today in that video, and maybe that's all they get out of it was they laughed, but maybe they haven't laughed in 2 months because life's been tough. And it gave them a minute and a half where they could just laugh. And the Bible says laughter's good medicine. And sometimes it just feels good just to have a laugh and go, okay, God, I'm going to get back in and I'm moving forward with you and I'm just trusting you, Who knows what needs are here? But I'm here to tell you the Bible it can fulfill your need. The truth can fulfill your need. And that's why we need to proclaim the message, because the message is truth. And the Bible says we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because you can't fool God. You can fool me. You can fool one another. And you know what? We can even fool ourselves. But we can't fool God. He knows what's going on right here. He knows. Even when we don't. Sometimes we think we're all right and He's up there like... Got to lay on some more heat. Not getting it. Gonna lay on some more heat. I'm gonna raise the temperature because there's gotta be some correction. Verse 5. He says they'll turn away from hearing the truth and turn aside to myths, and we see a lot of that all over the world, in our culture as well. They don't want to hear the truth. You know, nobody wants to hear they're going to hell. I mean, is that a news flash? I mean, it's common sense, right? Nobody wants to hear that. There is a hell. There is a heaven, there is a hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Even, you know, they'll pull 1,000 people, and even atheists want to go to heaven. I mean, they may not believe in it, but given the choice, hello, we're not dumb, right? We want to go to heaven. But a lot of people think there's 1,000 different ways to get there. Well, if I'm just good, or if I just do and help people enough, or, you know, all religions lead wherever. Listen, it's not about religion. I know this may break your heart, but there's probably going to be some Baptists in hell because it's not about religion. There's going to be some Buddhists in hell. There's going to be some Hindus in hell. There's going to be whatever flavor you want to name, because it's not about where you go to church. It's about relationship. It's about having a relationship with the living God. And the only way to have a relationship with God is to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's it. One way, only one way. And it's not about being Baptist or Catholic or, you know, whatever. It's about relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. People turn away from hearing the truth and they follow a myth or a lie or something that just sounds good to them. Virtual, you know, this is what I want to hear. And they go there. You know, there's a lot of churches of easy believism. And there's churches of, I'm going to get what I want. Oh, God wants you to be wealthy. Yeah, really? Jesus himself said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. The only thing he owned was the robe he wore. And that got taken from him. Now, does that mean God doesn't bless? No, I'm not saying that. God does bless. But that's not what I base my relationship on with him. That makes sense. Verse 5. But as for you, see, he's talking about people that aren't listening to the truth or following lies, but he says, but as for you, those that believe in the truth, those that read the Word of God and try to apply it to their lives. As for you, be serious about everything. Endure hardship. Well, this doesn't sound like fun. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now, he's writing to Timothy. I get that. Okay? But, you know what? We do need to be about our Father's business. Now, Timothy had a specific calling, and Paul raised him up and set him in charge of a church, and he was encouraging him because he was young and he wasn't getting respect from the people that he was in charge of. And so, you know, Paul's encouraging him and saying, hey, you know, do your work. But, you know, that last line for all of us, fulfill your ministry. You know, that's for everybody. Because if you know the Lord, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have a ministry. You know, it's not, ministry is just not for ministers. Everybody, not everybody is a pastor or a missionary, but everyone is responsible to share the Word of God. Everyone. Everyone is an evangelist. You know, when you list, we were talking about spiritual gifts today in the membership class, and we were talking about them, and I have a position on those, and I'm not going to get into it in this, but you know, one of the things that I talked about was, whatever gift you have, are you using it? Are you using it? Is God able to use it? Is He manifesting Himself in your life? He didn't do that with an empty plan. I mean, He has a plan for you. A plan that He didn't give you the gift so that you don't use it. You know, the guy that got the gift and he buried it in the ground, he was rebuked. No, whatever it is that you have, if you can speak, then you should be speaking. If you can teach, you should be teaching. If you have mercy, you should be caring for people. If you're a servant, you need to be helping someone. I mean, God has brought all these gifts into the church so that we can function and meet needs. And then also to share with everyone. Do the work of an evangelist. What's that? Well, it's just simply share the gospel. But we must persevere. It says endure hardship. I hate that word, endure. It doesn't have a pleasant sound to it. When we think of endure, we're thinking hardship. We're thinking it's not fun. We're thinking I'm having to endure something. Well, it's not something that I'm just having a good time with. And he says to endure hardship. We have to persevere because it's not easy, folks. It's not easy being a Christian. I had a guy tell me how I was so weak and I had to lean on my faith and all that. And I know there's a lot of cliche answers, but I told him, I said, well, you know, if you think it's so easy, why don't you just take a Bible and walk around with it wherever you go one day? Carry it with you. And then let people talk to you and ask you. I mean, I did that at work one time and I had people come, is that a Bible? Yeah, so? If you're in school, carry a Bible to school and just walk around. You don't even have to open it. Just walk around with it. Put it on top. You know, you got all those other books you carry? It's amazing. You can have 15 books there. If there's a Bible in there, people see it. They don't even have to see the cover. It doesn't even have to have any writing on it. Is that a Bible? You know what? There's something in there. They know. It's really crazy how that works. It's not easy. And it can cost you. It takes perseverance. But we're called to fulfill whatever ministry it is that God has for us. And this church is here to help you do that. That's the purpose. It's twofold. We build one another up. And worship and meet needs, bear one another's burdens and things like that. But then it's also to equip so that we can go out there and share the gospel. And sometimes it's not even sharing the gospel. You know, you may run into another Christian who just needs to be encouraged. And it may not be about salvation. It may just be about, wow, here's a brother or sister that's just really in a bad way and, you know, just needs to hear a kind word. That's part of our ministry. You don't know who you're running into out there. In conclusion, I must be willing. Willing for what? Well, verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. This is Paul. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. This is Paul in prison awaiting execution. This is his last letter. Shortly after this, head off. Okay? And he's writing this, and he says, I am already being poured out. You know what? If we're going to serve God in the way that he's called us, we got to empty ourselves. A drink offering. It's like the story of David. David was on the battlefield with his men, and there was an army out there, and so they were getting ready to wage war, and it had been a long time, and David had been away from his home and in Bethlehem there, and he's on, and he's not really talking to anyone. He's just sort of kicking back, and he's like, you know, he says out loud, you know, I long for a drink of the clear, cool water of the spring where I was born. You know, where he was a shepherd as he was growing up. And I guess there was a spring there that he drank from a lot. And he was just, and three of his mighty men, you know, David's mighty men, three of his mighty men heard him. And they went through, and the enemy was there. The enemy was in those, controlled that area. And they went through enemy lines, and they got in there, and they risked their lives and got, like, in modern day, they got a canteen full of water, you know, and brought it back. And they come to David, you know, we heard you. We heard you ask for this, and here it is. And what does David do? Pours it out on the ground. Now, how would you feel if you just risked your life to get your leader, who you love, obviously they loved him, this glass of water, and then when you give it to him, you're thinking, okay, man, drink it, man, we got this for you. It's a drink offering before the Lord. David's like, I am not worthy to lead these men. Lord, you are awesome. You gave me men like this. And David goes out and fights the thing. Of course, you know, David won all those battles back then before he sinned. Didn't win any battles after he sinned, by the way. Read it. Some of his armies did, but he didn't lead them. It's an interesting point about how sin can hurt our ministry. But we got to be willing to be emptied. And Paul said, I'm already being poured out. How much of us are we not willing to pour out? How much do we hang on to? All of us. I'm talking about me. We hold on to stuff. And the time for my departure is close. Look, none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Your departure may be closer than you think. You don't know. Car wreck, heart attack, I mean, whatever. You know, it can be young, old, in between. We don't know. We need to act like we don't have tomorrow. You plan like you got a lot of tomorrows. But you act like there's no tomorrow. You know, don't be foolish. Don't plan. That's silly. A lot of us are going to live a lot longer, okay? But you're not sure of that. So you have to redeem the time. Be a good steward of the time that you do have. And the only time any of us are guaranteed is today. So we got to be willing to be emptied, and in verse 7, we got to be willing to fight, to finish, and to keep the faith. And Paul says it. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. Do you understand that being a Christian means you're in a fight? And it's on a couple of levels. You know, first of all, we fight with our own flesh, don't we? You know, the flesh wars against the spirit. When you have the Spirit of God in you, it's wanting to do all the good things, and then here's our flesh. Well, go ahead. Do this, do that. You know, you'll get away with it. It won't hurt you. Look at all these other people that do it. They're okay. You know, we got that battle. We have that battle. And then we also, you know, we have the battle to serve, even. If you're in a ministry, sometimes it's difficult. And you are trying to do what's right. You know, that's a battle too. Because we have an adversary that seeks to disrupt God's plan in our life and for our life. We have that adversary. And so we got to understand it's a fight. It's a battle. But we got to be willing to finish. He says, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Listen, it's not about winning the race. The race is already won. Jesus won the war. 2,000 years ago, the war was won. But the battles still go on, don't they? The devil's fighting a losing cause. He's already lost. But he's not dead. So he fights. And so we got to fight. We got to continue. And we got to finish. Finish what's going on in our life. Finish what God has put in your life. Complete the job. Now, discernment, yes. We got to have discernment because, you know, God is able to change our path. I wasn't a pastor till 6 years ago. Changed my path. I was pretty content doing what I was doing. But God had freedom to change my path. So we got to be discerning. But if you know God's will, then you keep going. You go. You do. You speak. You serve. Whatever it is. You go forward. You finish. Nothing worse than a quitter. Don't quit. Finish. Because God has empowered you to. He's empowered you to finish. There's no retirement program in Christianity. I guess, well, there is. It's when you die. Now you're retired. Okay? But until then, you're not retired. I don't care if you're 178 years old. You're still alive. You have breath. You're not retired. Finish. You know, there's three kinds of people in the Bible. I know I need to wrap it up. But God keeps giving me stuff. There's three kinds of people in the Bible. There's those that start well and finish bad. Solomon, come to mind? Started off really great. God blessed him, gave him wisdom and riches, and he ended up a bitter old man, and you know, he violated a lot of the wisdom that he spoke in his book. He violated. Started good, didn't finish so well. Then there's those that start well and finish well. Think of Daniel. I mean, there is not one bad word written about Daniel in Scripture. And I know he was a sinner. He had to have done something wrong, because all of us have. But he started off pursuing God, and he pursued God his whole life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't fit that one. And I hope you don't fit the first one. But the third group of people is the one that I hope to fit in. That's the ones that started bad, but finished well. You know, think about Moses. Tried to kill, you know, God said, hey, I got a good plan for you. So he goes out and kills an Egyptian. That didn't work. Had to flee for his life. Lives out in the wilderness for 40 years until God got a hold of him and said, okay, now are you ready to do it my way? And was probably the greatest leader in the history of mankind, really, for the things that he did. He started off not so great, but he finished strong. And you know what? Whatever, however you started, you can't change it. You can't change your past, much as we might like to in some areas. We can't change our past, but we can decide to finish well. Every one of us can finish well because of the power that works within you. We got to finish. And how are we going to do that? By keeping the faith. Faithful. Faithful to the end. Whatever that is. Whatever that looks like for you. Wherever God has you, be faithful to the end. Why are we building a building? So that we can help people in all these areas have better facility, more classrooms and things. Why? Not just so we can just be an entity unto ourselves, but so that we are better equipped to do what God asks us to do out there. That's why we're building the building. There may be someone here today that you have never considered these words. You may be saying, how can I help anyone? I don't even have anything to give. Well, first of all, you got to make sure, do you have the Lord? Do you have the Holy Spirit within you? Have you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Because that's where your service starts right there. That's where you can now be used of God, is you've got to have a relationship with Him. And it's simple. God didn't make 75 hoops to jump through. He said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And if you've never done that, if you've never admitted to God that you know, the hard part about people accepting Jesus, it's not about them accepting Jesus. The hard part is getting them to believe that they need Jesus. That's the hard part. Once you get them realizing where they stand with God, and they're sincere, it's pretty easy. So I'm here today. There may be someone here, you have never done that. You've been doing things your way your whole life. And maybe you heard something today that's kind of pricked your spirit, pricked your soul. And you're like, wow, I have never made things right with God. Well, you're going to have an opportunity. For the rest of us, how patient are you with others? How patient are you with yourself? Are you emptying yourself or are you hanging on? Are you willing to fight? Are you willing to finish? How's your faith? Maybe you need prayer in that area. Maybe you need to go to God and just ask Him, God, I just need you to give me some clear direction. Maybe you've just kind of been wandering a little bit in your own desert. And you're needing some direction. Whatever it is, this will be your opportunity. If I can have every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want people to be free. Is there anybody here that would say, Brother Mike, I've never received the Holy Spirit as a result of my faith in Jesus Christ. I've never put my faith and trust in Him. I've never asked Him to forgive me. I've just been operating on my own strength, and I need that. Anybody like that? I've never done it. I just want you to slip your hand up so I can pray for you. I'm not going to approach you, but I do want to pray for you. And I pray that if you are a person like that, that you would come see me or call me. My number's on the bulletin. Call me. See me. Make an appointment. I will talk with you as long as it takes for you to understand so you can make a decision. But if you're ready, there's no time like today. Anybody like that? For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I need to empty myself. I just realized Holy Spirit has revealed to me that I've been kind of full of my own ideas and things, and I need to empty that out and start taking on His will and His way. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. How many would say, Brother Mike, I've been sharing the word with some people, but I need to be patient. I've been on my timetable instead of on God's, and I recognize that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you thankful for the truth that we have in your word. Help us, Lord, as this truth is being applied to our hearts even right now. And I pray, Lord, your spirit would move upon us. Help us, Lord, to be pleasing to you, that we would learn from these things, Lord, and apply them in our life, Lord, that you can use us in a greater way. Father, give us courage to make a commitment to you in the areas that you're dealing with us right now. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As Kathy keeps playing, this is your time. You deal with God. If God has pricked you in some way, you deal with him. You can do it in your chair. If you want me to pray with you, you can come up. I will pray with you. Whatever God is doing in your heart right now, don't let this moment pass. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you thankful for your word, thankful for your encouragement, Lord, but perhaps most of all thankful that you gave us your spirit, that we can be taught, that we can be empowered to carry out your will for our lives, Lord, that we can live out your purpose for us, Lord, and have impact on a world that is in desperate need of truth. And so, Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your love. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.